This weekend's UFC 262 is sure to be a can't-miss event. Every punch, kick, and knockout means so much more with the DraftKings lineup on the line. DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the UFC, is giving you a shot at huge cash prizes. For this weekend's fight, DraftKings is offering all customers a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Just pick six fighters, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for advances, takedowns, and more. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code TBP. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code THPN for your shot at millions of dollars in total prizes throughout the week. That's promo code THPN to get a shot at millions of dollars in total prizes only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Got a special edition World Hockey Report for you, playoff version. You don't want to see our ugly mugs, so you don't have to. This will be audio only. World Hockey Report presented by Lordco Auto Parts, now open in Edmonton, Alberta on St. Albert Trail Northwest. Lordco Auto Parts has been a household name across Western Canada since 1974. It's proudly Canadian owned and operated, and now they have finally come to Edmonton. Carrying much more than just car parts, their newest store on St. Albert Trail Northwest has a huge selection of aftermarket auto parts and accessories and a dedicated truck center. Whether you're looking for high performance parts, shop equipment, paint and body supplies, outdoor gear, or whatever works, or whatever you need to get your RV on the road or boat on the water, Lordco's got you covered. Lordco Auto Parts is open 7 days a week. Visit them today for an exceptional customer experience or learn more about their products and services at lordco.com. Cody, what's up? I don't know if I've ever been so excited for the playoffs, but what's up, man?
Hey, thanks for the introduction, actually. People don't even know who I am right now, but no, I'm excited for the playoffs. Honestly, the regular season felt like it dragged on for so long. We kind of knew the North Division teams 2 months ago. So yeah, I'm ready for playoff hockey. I'm ready for meaningful hockey. It's still a shame we can't have fans in the barn. That's kind of embarrassing. But again, you know, kudos to the Americans who obviously did it better than Canada. And they get to enjoy playoff hockey more down there.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be interesting come round three when the Canadian team has to go play wherever they have to. And they're going to have fans there for the first time all year. So that'll be interesting. I mean, I've always said this kind of from the start. Can you get like 50 people, like family and friends in there to like at least just have them there or something like that? I mean, there's not going to be exposure or anything, but I guess it is.
That was something that's actually been talked about. I don't know how much it's really out there. I know for, in Edmonton, they've talked about using the kind of the booths, whatever, and, you know, kind of sticking people in those individual places, you know, social distancing, same household, then you can kind of get in one together, a suite, whatever. They've talked about that. I don't know if it's officially been approved, but I could definitely see it happening for playoffs here. And I know it's quick, but I think that they could get the exception.
That'd be absolutely ideal. Yeah, and I guess another thing would be just to look and see an American game. I mean, we've watched quite a bit this year, but it just feels like it's so else, like so outside. And I heard a quote yesterday where a team's like, I mean, I think we're good, but we've played the same five teams. I mean, you look at Vegas, they went 27-5 against the bottom of that division. So it's hard to know how good you are and how good you stack up. But honestly,
I'm so confused by that tweet that went off. I still don't understand it. I've read it a million times and everyone's just, you know, bitching to bitch on there. Like, I mean, you know, you've got Vancouver Canucks fans or whatever podcasters being like, oh, the North Division sucks. Like, you know, the Leafs and the Oilers are no good. It's like, how do we know? How do we know that this is the same old Leafs team or the same old Oilers team? That's my biggest issue is you can't just make these assumptions all the time. You don't have to be negative all the time. We really don't know if Connor McDavid has upped his game to a whole new level, or is it just because they, you know, beat down on Ottawa? I think it's the, you know, I think it's he's upped his game. You know, he's coming off an injury last year. All of a sudden, he looks like a man on a mission this year, and we're going to just throw out the whole season because someone wants to shit on the North Division? I don't know. I think that's kind of pathetic. Seems a little bit embarrassing. Of course, follow us on Twitter at WorldHockeyRPT if you do want to catch our tweets, if you like listening to Adam's nonsense.
Yeah, we honestly...
We're reading it.
Yeah, let's just get into it, man. Our playoff preview, we got a...
That's the most overused phrase by any podcaster I've ever listened to.
Let's just get into it,
yeah, man.
Why not?
That's the one phrase I was hoping you weren't going to drop today.
Yeah, so for playoffs, we got a lot coming. We'll announce it on Twitter, but use our promo code WorldHockeyRPT on Player Athletics. 20% off your purchase, whatever you want. Our guy Chase has got it hooked up. He is a Flames fan, but you know he's got it hooked up. And I mean, there might be a giveaway involved, but... That'll be announced maybe a little later. All right.
Whenever Adam stops sleeping and does some work.
Yeah, honestly. All right. Central Division. Carolina, Nashville.
Who starts with the Central? There's no way we're not starting with the North. No, I'll protest.
North is for last. We got to get people listening.
Oh, my goodness.
Central.
Yeah, we'll string them along.
Yeah, Central. Carolina, Nashville, Tampa, Florida. Carolina and Nashville, I don't know how much there's to talk about, really. Like, Nashville's leading scorer had two guys at 13.
Who starts in goal for Carolina? That's the issue.
I think you got to go Nedeljkovic, don't you?
Possibly. I think he's had some success in the American League.
932 this year in 23 games.
Yeah, I mean, that would kind of make sense why he would be the starter. But again, you're facing a potential Vezina winner in UC Saros, who down the stretch was, by far and away, it wasn't even close, the best goaltender in the NHL. Everyone knows goaltending in playoffs wins you a series. Can Carolina get that? I don't know. They've got way more firepower up front. They're a way deeper team. They're way better coached. You run into a hot goalie, anything can happen.
Yeah, I think this is probably...
Or you got Peter Mrazek playing out of the net, playing in the corner, doing some awkward one-knee downs against Boston, and you're gone.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just so hard to get behind Nashville. Their leading scorer was Roman Josi, who had 33 points. And then it goes Philip Forsberg, Kelly Yarncroc, Ryan Johansson at 22-48, Matt Duchene at 13-34. Those are their top two centers. We'll get to it with Vegas, but I mean, you need centerman play, strong center play, and scoring to win, just two things that Nashville doesn't have. I'm excited to see the Bridgestone Arena rocking, but I mean,
you're giving some love for that Tanner Jeannette kid.
Tanner Jeannot, yeah, I mean,
Jeannette.
Yeah, he's got 7 points in 15 games. He started in the Coast this year, lit up the A, and now he's in the NHL, and I mean, for him, he's worked so hard to get to this point. I know him a little bit. He's from kind of where my dad's from. And, you know, I think he's worked so hard to get to this point. And he could have that effect where it's like, there's a guy who doesn't care who he's up against, whatever, you know. He'll run over whoever. Like, if he sees Sebastian Aho's numbers, he'll probably hit him, which is, like, what you have to do in the playoffs.
Yeah, don't tell Hockey Twitter that. They will cancel us ASAP as possible.
Yeah, honestly, I got Carolina in 5, though.
Yeah, I'd probably go Carolina in 6. I'm sorry, they're going to end it in Bridgestone.
Yeah, okay. Florida-Tampa, probably the most hyped-up series, I think. Like, if you look at, there's some Twitter polls, like, which one are you looking most forward to? And it's Tampa-Florida, man, like... Absolutely.
Because you only gave him one option.
Yeah, I was like, here. No, I saw a couple things, but no, I think it'll be an awesome series. I mean, of course, the Caps all messed up in the NHL, so Tampa's going to have Nikita Kucherov and Steven Stamkos just back for just basically for fun at this point. It's like, okay, yeah, here we go. But they are missing Barclay Gaudreau, who is a key cog for them. Really even season series. I mean, you look at the record, Tampa was 3-3, 23 goals, 22 against. Florida 3-2-1, 22-4, 23 against. So, I mean, it doesn't really get much more even than that. What are your thoughts here?
Aside from the fact that they were missing Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov, we'll call it even, without two top-line forwards. I don't know. Florida's had a good season. They've got three goalies they can go to. I think, maybe I'm wrong here, I do think they go with Driedger to start. Bobrovsky's probably going to back up. Spencer Knight's an option that they're going to roll to if they're getting pumped here. Just get them those games if they know they're losing. Tampa Bay, although Vasilevskiy had a little bit of a shaky end to his season, I still think he's one of the best goaltenders in the league, if not the best. So you got to give him a little bit of credit there. And from Florida's perspective, it's where's this depth going to come from? Barkov, he's never been a standout. He's never really taken over a series. Huberdeau is good. I think he had a really good season, too. That's a little bit underrated there. But, I mean, Huberdeau is a great player. But is Verhaeghe, are Uyghur, are those guys going to, you know, pull their weight or punch in the same weight class that they did in the regular season? I don't really see that happening. I think Tampa handles this one. Yeah, it might go the distance. That would be fun to see this one go seven. But end of the day, Tampa's the better team here.
Yeah, I won't dispute you on that. It's just it's hard for me to get behind the health of Tampa because Victor Hedman's putting off surgery. Nikita Kucherov hasn't played since October, and as good as a guy is, I mean, you can't just go into a playoff series, especially with how these last two games ended. So, and I mean, for Florida, they got a couple guys, Sam Bennett, Patrick Hornqvist, Carter Verhaeghe, guys who, you know, they know how to play in the playoffs, and Florida, quite frankly, embarrassed themselves in the bubble last year. So they go and get these guys. Obviously, Quenneville and Cooper are great coaches, but I'm going Florida in seven.
Who's that young kid who is mixing it up with Maroon there?
Was it Mason Marchment?
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited. We get a little bit of piss and vinegar. I think this is the first time ever these teams have played in the playoffs or something like that.
Yeah, huge for hockey in
that's,
Florida.
That's awesome. And I mean, the Barns are going to be rocking. You're down in Florida. COVID doesn't exist there. It's awesome. I mean, it's going to be a riot. It's going to feel like actual NHL playoff hockey. And as you said, you know, if there's one series people are excited for, it's probably this one. There is some other good series, but Boston-Washington doesn't get me going as much as Tampa-Florida. Edmonton-Winnipeg-Toronto-Montreal doesn't get me going as much as Tampa-Florida. That just, it's set up for must-watch playoff hockey, and I like it. There's skill, there's grit, there's toughness, there's goaltending. We're really getting the real package here.
Yeah, what do you got for the series?
Give me Tampa in seven. The experience, they can't fold out. Although half of Victor Hedman, you know, it's a tough one. But do I see them getting past the next round? I don't know. I think it could be Carolina or Nashville's year to make a little bit of a run here because Tampa and Florida are going to be so beat up, so tired after their series that, you know, the Central could be a cakewalk in that second round.
Yeah, and I had a buddy who went to a Tampa Bay game. He went to States. In the school in the States, he graduated. And yeah, he said that there's a lot more people in there than they let off, like just optically for the cameras are there. But like he said, behind the cameras, it's just packed, which is, I mean, I guess COVID doesn't exist there. But yeah, I'm really excited.
Congrats to Adam's buddy for graduating college.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. Pitt Islanders.
Okay, so let's talk about the East Division for Pro Rock Hockey Sticks. Family-owned Canadian company, changes the way we buy hockey sticks. Pro Rock offers top-of-the-line twigs, fraction of the cost, not even close. Use them for a while now, never go back. Never go back to one of the big companies. Pro Rock, lighter, more balanced, and at the best price point when it comes to top-of-the-line twigs. Check them out today, prorock.com. That's PROROCC.com. East, you're a big Isles guy.
Oh, man.
Obviously, you love the team. You love the style. You're all over Barzal. Yeah,
they have,
but what
they
a have season what by takes. Sidney yeah. Crosby and the Pens. What a second half to their season. They're absolutely flying. The only question mark I have is, can Tristan Jarry hold his own against Semyon Varlamov and Ilya Sorokin? Because if Tristan Jarry flutters, if the Isles score 3 goals in a game, they're likely going to win.
Yeah.
If they score 1 or 2, Pittsburgh's got a chance. Seems like Malkin, Crosby, they found some of their game back. So defensively, that's where it's going to be a series for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think if you go back a couple of years ago, you look at this series and Pittsburgh, quite frankly, got embarrassed. Like, they got swept by the Islanders. So, yeah, I mean, for Crosby, Malkin, Letang, I was reading our guy Josh Yowie's article, and he said that this could be the last kind of swan song for them, right? I mean, Malkin didn't have a great year. He's kind of in and out injury-wise. Letang didn't really have a great year. Crosby kind of put the team on his back. And, I mean, for the Islanders, being a bottom 12 or 11 offense in the league, they're 20th in goals, 22nd in shots, 21st in power play. I mean, being that, but a strong defensive team only gets you so far in the playoffs, which is why $100 could be in the hole if they get to the conference finals. But yeah, I mean, this one's Pittsburgh. Like, we're going to sound like we're beating the same drum, but goaltending Tristan Jarry, he had a better second half. I mean, he started out just terribly, but a better second half. I think at the end, Pittsburgh realizes that this is their last kind of, I don't want to say kick of the can, but getting long in the two. So I got Pitt in 6.
Here's what pisses me off about Pittsburgh, and I will give my prediction. If this is, you know, the last hard push, their big move was bringing in Hextall and Burke this year. Their big move wasn't going after Marc-Andre Fleury, a legitimate starting goaltender who wanted to go back to Pittsburgh, who would have been perfect for the organization this year, who's having the season of a lifetime. That's what you spend the farm on. You give him one more run. You say, hey, Fleury, let's make it happen here. You know what? I know you only got a couple of years left in you. We're going all in. We have the team right now. And they had to have known it. They had to have known it at some point where they're going, wow, we're the best team in the East, which is arguably the best division in the NHL.
Yeah, so.
So, you know, a kind of piss poor trade deadline for them. Kind of bad management? I don't know. I really think adding Marc-Andre Fleury at the deadline would have made the Pittsburgh Penguins one of the cup favorites here.
Yeah.
So disappointing to say the least. The Isles in playoffs are an absolute different beast. I think Matt Martin's one of the most effective playoff players for some reason. Every year he's the center of attention. He's doing something that throws the other team off. The Isles are a good team. As you said, I don't know. I really want to see Sidney Crosby, the Pittsburgh Penguins, do well. So if they win, it's in 7. Give me the Pens.
Nice. Yeah, and also Pittsburgh went 6-2 versus the Islanders this year. So we got that. Another exciting kind of toss-up series, Washington-Boston. Chara.
This is Chara versus the Bruins. Chara. This is all this is.
Chara versus the Bruins. I mean, a lot of people are trying to kind of pump the... Oh, maybe, like, look, Zdeno Chara doesn't give a shit. Like, Brad Marchand, Patrice Bergeron, whatever you guys want to do, he'll put your face in the glass and not think twice about it. So, but yeah, I mean, with Washington, they don't have a starting goalie because their one was on COVID protocol. Their number one center was on COVID protocol, and apparently they're just sick of him there.
I thought you were going to say cocaine.
No, well, that too on it. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of smoke around Washington. Ovechkin's been hurt. Oshie has been hurt. There's the Wilson thing that maybe brought them together. I don't know. I think Washington at full health is has better top 6D. I mean, that's my biggest concern with Boston. And I think that, I don't know, both teams are even up front, but Washington has a far better defense. I know that people in Boston will give you the whole Matt Grizzlick, Mike Riley are playing well this year, but I mean, you know, those guys go in the corner with Tom Wilson, they're likely not coming out with the puck, and teams will target that, right? Like, if you're, are you going to dump the puck in Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo's corner? No, you're going to dump it in the opposite way and try to force that guy. So I think that'll be something to watch, but it's hard to pick this one because there's so many question marks with Washington where you're like, this team could bow out in five games or this team could win the cup.
A lot of it comes down to goaltending. It's the same playoff
says the goalie
cycle that we keep talking about. But again, if Vanecek holds his own, if he can play just on par, even a little below par, with Tuukka Rask, Jeremy Swayman, Yaroslav Halak, who's Vladar. The other kid they've got? Vladar. Yeah, another Czech kid. So if he can play relevantly close to that, Washington wins. They do. I get it. Boston's got two lines who can score. Their forward depth is arguably better. Taylor Hall's looking like a whole new player. But Boston's defense, they're not good enough. Their goaltending, while good at times, also inconsistent. So Washington has that opportunity if they want to play bully hockey like what won them a cup, like what Tom Wilson succeeds at, like what Chara does best. If they want to beat the absolute piss out of the Boston Bruins, they're going to win this series. Simple as that. I love the Bruins. I think that Brad Marchand, again, what he was like, he was top five in scoring this year, wasn't he? Another guy with a wildly good year. I think he's one of the best forwards in all of hockey. But does Boston, I hate the blue line. You said it best. Who on the blue line screams to me, I can shut down Ovechkin. I can stop the forecheck of Tom Wilson. I can control. Would they just pick up there? Not Vrana. What's his name? The kid from Detroit.
Or Mantha. No. Mantha.
Yeah, Mantha. I can stop Mantha when he heats up. This is a different Caps team. This is a different looking roster than when they won the cup, but I like it. And I'm going to go Caps in seven.
Yeah, I hate agreeing with you again, but no, I think I'm going Caps in seven. I could be very wrong. Boston, they've always had a hole in their second line, and Taylor Hall's definitely fixed that, but they have some question marks in their bottom six, as a lot of teams do, but Jake DeBrusk, Andre Kasha, Charlie Coyle, like, where have these guys been all season? And I think you need the bottom six, and I actually don't mind Washington's bottom six, like their fourth line's Carl Hagelin and Garnet Hathaway. So they got a little bit of everything. I'm going Washington in seven, probably is wrong, but you know, we'll move to the West Division. And also, shout out Player Golf. We will be doing a huge player challenge. Gonna have to deal with some overtime picks here. Use our code WorldHockeyRPT for 20% off. Shout out to Player for hopping on. All right. Let's move on to...
You didn't even talk about the contest. How do you get in?
Oh, yeah, we can announce it. So we'll be doing a player challenge on Twitter, overtime challenge, World Hockey Report. Basically, every overtime, use World Hockey or WHROT challenge. Yeah, I don't even know. Use WHROT challenge. We'll be tweeting out the full info, but use that. We'll be keeping track of the winners. And if you get more than one, it's likely that you'll win. So highest total at the end gets a player. We haven't decided yet, but you know, a very nice,
just get some sweet swag from player.
A nice player item or items, whatever you want, really. So there's that to look forward to. Moving on to the West Division, Pacific Division, whatever you want. West Division. Colorado locks up the President's Trophy yesterday. They just absolutely beat the piss out of LA for their last like three games or whatever, and Vegas was playing with 15 guys. But man, this is probably, I want to say, the toughest division to predict, like where I just don't have much confidence. Colorado, St. Louis, Vegas, Minnesota. I mean,
St. Louis beat the brakes off of Minnesota too here to close it out. Also, West Division brought to you by QuackStats, most advanced player tracking technology. Follow them today on Instagram @Quack_stats.
Yeah, I mean, I understand this isn't the St. Louis with Petrangelo, and I mean, that Justin Falk trade still looks terrible, but there's just something about St. Louis, and I think to be dethroned, like, you gotta be. And I mean, they did lose to Vancouver in the bubble last year, but Binnington was just hot garbage. And you know, I think that they kind of are pissed off about it, and they're probably pissed off about their season. So for Ryan O'Reilly to go up against Nathan MacKinnon and Braden Schenn, who's built for the playoffs, and I mean, I think this will be a great series. I know that people are going to pick Colorado because they're kind of the sexy cup pick of the last couple of years, but I don't know, man. It's tough, and yeah, I'm looking forward to this one also. And these are like the only late games in the playoffs.
Well, I hate that we're leaning the same way here. I was really hoping you'd be all over Colorado. And I do love Colorado's defense. They're some of the most skilled defense to watch. But here's the thing. If St. Louis can put the full court press on them, if St. Louis can get back to what made them successful when they went on their cup run, when they went and absolutely dominated teams, played big boy hockey, scored big goals, rode the momentum waves, had Jordan Binnington buzzing. And just think, Jordan Binnington in that cup run? He wasn't phenomenal every night. That's not the Jordan Binnington you're getting. The Jordan Binnington you need to win in the playoffs has four good games in a series. That's all you need out of him.
Yeah.
Four good games out of Jordan Binnington, and you got a chance to win the damn series. So for Colorado, if their big boys don't show up, if Nathan MacKinnon, Gabriel Landeskog, and those guys only want to show up against the Arizona Coyotes, you're in trouble. You are in big trouble, and Philip Grubauer is going to stay healthy, and he's got to be a 920, 930 goaltender, because anything less than that, and the Avs don't have it in them. The Avs can't play a tight defensive checking hockey game. The Avs are built for 6-5 games against the Dallas Stars when the goaltenders aren't holding sticks. You know, it's just not their style to play classic playoff hockey. And if the St. Louis Blues want to be mean, want to be bullies, they're going to win this series in six games.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Colorado in six, just because I do think that St. Louis, they're quite a different team from their cup run. Like, they don't have the Patty Maroon. They don't have Petrangelo, of course. Torrey Krug is good, but he's not all that. I do like St. Louis's kind of young guys with Jordan Kyrou, Robert Thomas, you know, a couple younger guys up front, and we'll see where it goes. I mean, as you said, Binnington will be a stud for four games. It might be crap the other three or whatever, but I mean, he's kind of got that whatever in him that, you know, wins you a cup. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm going to go Colorado in six, just because I think at the end of the day, the firepower, I think Grubauer will really see what his real deal is, but I think Colorado in six. Oh, Minnesota, Vegas, get ready for some hot takes. I had a tweet, Vegas 27-5 against basically Arizona, San Jose, LA, and Anaheim. It's hard to tell. Like we said, it's hard to tell. They beat they were 15-1 against San Jose and Anaheim, so it's tough to pick with Vegas. I mean, I think top 9, top 12 forwards, they might be the deepest team in the league. Down the middle, they're probably a bottom 3 team in the league. And that's what wins you games in the playoffs. And, I mean, Vegas has been chasing it for quite a bit here, where it's like, we have to trade for Mark Stone, we have to sign Petrangelo, we have to get this guy, that guy. They were trading picks for Thomas Tatar, Max Pacioretty, so they've definitely been chasing their cup, and all the power to them. It's just hard for me to pick them when they're so, so weak down the middle.
Minnesota's overrated. They got one guy who had a good season. They don't have the playoff experience. They've got Cam Talbot in net. They don't have anyone who's an intimidating factor. And Vegas is going to steamroll. I mean, you think of the mindset of good Sasky guy Chandler Stephenson. I don't care how, you know, deep they are up the middle. They're playing Minnesota. You're going to tell me Minnesota's a team that intimidates Vegas in any way, shape, or form? Not a chance. The only way Minnesota has a chance is if Robin Leonard absolutely drops a deuce in net and plays terrible, and they refuse to go to Marc-Andre Fleury, who's got a sword in his back still. But for Vegas, you know what? Just come out and shut down Kaprizov. you shut down Kaprizov, if you bully Kaprizov, if Mark Stone puts a stick in his nuts, if Petrangelo puts a stick to his throat, you know what? You're going to shut the kid down. He's going to fold. He's going to go away. It's a Russian in playoffs. Early on, it's tough to figure out. So I don't know. I think Vegas steamrolls this one, and I'll take them in five.
Oh, Minnesota was 5-1-2 against Vegas this year. Just throwing that out there. You know, they're not deep down the middle also, like Joel Eriksson, Ek, and Nick Bonino. But their top four D of Spurgeon, Brodin, Suter, and Dumba have been that way forever. And I think they have what it takes to shut it down. So I'm going to go Minnesota in six games.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm writing this down, and I already had Vegas down for you. That's a stupid pick.
I'm honestly, like, we went on our buddy Cord's podcast, and I'm pretty sure I've picked different in this series or whatever, but oh well. You know, got to keep it fresh. The North Division.
This one brought to you Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. Weather's getting nice. You need something to sip on. Swinging the sticks, lighting the barbecue, watching playoff hockey. Yes, baby, refreshingly different Coco Vodka Rum coming up with new cans here in Canada, and flavors are next. Enjoy the Coco line with us. High quality ingredients, no fillers, no beer bloat, no cheap liquor. Coco Vodka, Coco Rum. You will not be disappointed. Also, Coco Vodka and Coco Rum, they hooked the guys up. What summer accessory? Adam, when you're thinking about a man cave, what's the ultimate accessory in your man cave?
Probably a 100-inch TV, but I mean, you need something to keep the beers cold.
You need a mini fridge. Bang on. Coco Vodka, Coco Rum, they're hooking you guys up. We're giving away a mini fridge this playoffs. They're taking it to the absolute next level. These things are beautiful. Check us out on Twitter at World Hockey RPT. Contest is all up there. What you got to do? Pick the Stanley Cup winner who leads the playoffs in scoring. Follow us on Twitter. You're going to get entered to win a mini fridge. Who doesn't want a mini fridge, especially when it's coming from Coco Vodka, Coco Rum? It's absolutely legit. Shout out to them. Let's get to the North.
All right, we'll start Toronto, Montreal. Look, everyone wants to make the Leafs in the playoffs, this, that. Look, they're 7-2-1 against Montreal. Auston Matthews clearly has Carey Price's number, who's not that healthy right now. And I mean, Gallagher's, I mean, he, look, love the guy. He gets hurt a lot. Okay, so there's that. Jonathan Drouin, you know, prayers to him for whatever he's going through. I don't think he'll be back. Montreal, they're just underwhelming across the board. Like, they have some decent pieces, but it's kind of a directionless team, to be honest, where their goalie and their captain are like, both, what are they, 34, 35, and then they have two really young centers down the middle. They think they're trying to turn Philip Deneau into Ryan O'Reilly, and it's just not going to happen. And, you know, I love Josh Anderson as a player. I think he could win Montreal a game in this series. But, like, Toronto, we've been critical of them the last couple of years, and rightly so, but the moves they've made to get Nick Foligno and Wayne Simmonds and Zach Bogosian and add that style to their team. And even, like, I think Riley Nash will be their third line center come game one. So they've added a ton of playoff experience, guys who know what it takes to win. I mean, everybody wants to be hot takey when it comes to Toronto, but that's not what I'm going to do. I think that this one's over in five for Toronto. And, you know, credit to Auston Matthews too. He has like 20 more hits this year than any other year. So I think he started to get it, and a flip's kind of been switched with him.
Okay, well, you said five. That was mine. So now I got to decide, do I choose Toronto to sweep or do I choose Montreal to win two games in this series? This is a tough one. As you said, if Carey Price is here, well, I mean, you kind of rip Carey Price. I think if Carey Price is here, this is a totally different series because you got one of the best goaltenders in the world. Shea Weber, Jeff Petrie. I like Montreal's back end. I think they're tough. I think they're mean. And I think it's next to impossible to win hockey games with only good defensemen. I'll go, oh man, Jake Allen doesn't even hold a candle to Jack Gamble, Freddie Anderson. This is a tough one. But I'm not going to choose a sweep. I'll go Toronto in six, just to disagree with you. I'll give Montreal credit. I don't know how they're going to win two games. I don't think they know how they're going to win two games. But Maybe Jack Campbell has an off night. Maybe Freddie lets in a squeaker in overtime. Toronto in six.
Yeah, you got it. Like, I think Jack Campbell will be starting. Like, Freddie Anderson, he didn't play great the other day, and they're like, yeah, he's kind of getting back into rhythm. And I mean, you just can't have that come like when your playoff starts next week. So Jack Campbell
noted good in big games.
Jack Campbell on a short leash. We'll see where it goes. Edmonton, Winnipeg, the one everyone's probably been waiting for. I mean, this season series, Edmonton 7-2, 34-4, 22 against Connor McDavid, 22 points in 9 games. Yeah, I mean, there's just been so much smoke around Winnipeg this year. As I've said, like, you know, it's really hard to pick them, honestly. Like, they had the Line A thing. Paul Maurice was screaming about how good of a guy Blake Wheeler was, even though he's old and he didn't have a great year. And then Mark Scheifele got benched. Connor Hellebuyck got pulled in a couple times in a short stretch there, and he wasn't happy about it. There's just something off there. And I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois, he's got some points, but anytime he's been matched up against McDavid or Draisaitl, he kind of goes into a shell a bit. And I mean, that guy had a great playoffs for Columbus the last couple of years, but something's off with him in Winnipeg too. Even like, he really hasn't looked that good all season. And Winnipeg's back end just can't handle Edmonton's big boys. And Nick Ehlers, I think, won't be ready for the playoffs too. And that was Winnipeg's best player this year.
I got a beef to pick with Hockey Twitter. If Connor Hellebuyck is some Vezina outstanding goaltender, why does he not get the same treatment that any other goaltender who goes through a rough stretch gets? Is it because he's in Winnipeg? Because Jordan Binnington has one-off playoffs, and we're ready to write this guy as done, as gone. And he's got a cup. Connor Hellebuyck doesn't have a cup. So why is the love for Connor Hellebuyck so strong that he can be mediocre and arguably bad against the Edmonton Oilers this season? He has not been good. He's been far from good. So why are we willing to give him free passes all the time? Is it because we feel bad he has to play in Winnipeg? I don't know. Connor Hellebuyck's been bad this year. The Winnipeg Jets have been an absolute mess. I do like the Pierre-Luc Dubois addition, although, I mean, you say people haven't noticed him out there. It's still better than Patrick Laine. I mean, come on. You want an irrelevant European in playoffs, or you want someone who can help drive a line down the middle? I think we all know we're going with PLD in that one. Edmonton's too strong, though. You got McDavid, you got Draisaitl, they're playing out of their minds. Darnell Nurse is having the best season he's ever had. Tyson Berry's having the best season he's ever had. Mike Smith has just refound his form from when the Yotes were going to the conference final. I mean, this is a totally different Oilers team that no one has ever seen. No one's seen Puljujarvi have this type of success in the National Hockey League. It's just different. It is. There's something about this Oilers team that makes me think they're going to roll through the North and they're sweeping the Winnipeg Jets. It's done in four. It's over.
Yeah. I'm going to go Edmonton in five just because, you know, I think Winnipeg gets a game. It seems like every year Edmonton in the playoffs, they kind of have this one. Their opening game isn't great for some reason where it's like, oh, no, like, you know.
Mike Smith with 3 turnovers and 1 softie from the blue line goes 5-hole.
I think that'll be the narrative. But, you know, Winnipeg's only chance down the middle is if Adam Lowry dominates the bottom 6 matchup, which, you know, he's very capable of. But, you know, Ryan McLeod has definitely given the Oilers a different look. The points aren't really there. I think he only has 1, but he gives them just a different look and speed element that they kind of have to worry about where, you know, if you're the opposition, you're not just, okay, these guys are going to dump it in and do it. They're not going to beat us in any way, but, you know, he gives them a different element. And, you know, guys like James Neal and Zach Cashian, they haven't really played all year, and we'll see where Cashian's at, but I think that those guys could be 2 key guys, you know, just those veteran guys who, you know what it takes to win. So, yeah, that's our playoff.
How about James Neal's quote, though?
Yeah, he's like, they're keeping
when
me
when someone
rested.
Asks him he's ready for the playoffs, he's like, yeah, I'm well rested.
Yeah, so, no, it's interesting. We'll see where it goes, but that's our playoff preview. Lastly, Cup picks. Cody, what do you got? Final 4, Stanley Cup.
I refuse to give my cut picks.
Yeah, it's a crapshoot.
I got to give a final four as well. Yeah,
each division.
Okay, give me Washington coming out of the East. Give me Tampa coming out of the Central. Give me Edmonton coming out of the North. And give me St. Louis coming out of the West. Cup winner? I don't know. Edmonton could get it done. I don't think guys have seen Connor McDavid at this form. He's at a whole new level. If Mike Smith, who I've been saying, how long can he keep this up for? He keeps just proving me wrong. If he keeps that up, Edmonton's lifting a cup in front of absolutely zero fans. Thank you, government.
Yeah, give me Colorado, Florida, Toronto, Pitts. Colorado, Florida final. Colorado in seven. I think, look, I think in, like, your Edmonton pick, I didn't want to make. I wanted to make, but I was like, you know what? Won't make it. Keep it fresh. Yeah, Colorado, Florida, that's it. Everyone.
Edmonton's going to have to find a way to match up against Thornton, Simmons, and Foligno.
Yeah.
If they can, and that's what you said, guys like Cassian and Neal, they're so important because they're going to be the ones that have to match up against these guys. You know, I'm not saying Gigi Arcaro's got to go out there and get knocked out every shift, but I mean, you got to find a way to match that toughness. And that's why if the Oilers are going to get by, they're going to need a couple of guys to step up and play that big boy role.
No, absolutely. So there's that.
They could use a Pat Maroon.
Yeah, stay tuned for our giveaways. I mean, we'll be watching every game. You got two eyes on every game. So, you know, I'm pumped for tomorrow and, or I guess
I will not be watching every game. I'll try, but I can't commit to that. That's such a big commitment, Adam.
I'm not golfing for a month.
That's soft.
All right. Yeah. Thanks to everyone. Lord Cole.
Be sure. Don't forget, Teamed Up Folks Hockey Podcast Network produces pods. So download, rate, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Shout out 12 Ounce Sports live show Sunday nights at 7.
Yeah.
Alberta, Saskatchewan time, Mountain Standard time. You don't want to miss it. Sunday nights at 7, the live show lives on.
And don't forget, World Talk, your port presented by Lord Co. Auto Parts. Learn more at LordCo.com and follow Lord Co. Parts on social media. We're out of here. That's it. Quick playoff preview podcast. I know that these are the ones that everyone kind of gets the juices flowing here. So, you know, thanks to everyone for the support throughout the year and a lot of good content still to come.
Peace.